sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have now, as our possession, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of the world. Now, of course, if the world needs saving, that's a good indication that something has gone well and truly and horribly wrong. And if the world needs saving, it means that we humans, by extension, are incapable of saving ourselves. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, has undertaken the redemption of humanity. And St. Paul, in the first chapter of Colossians, marvelously tells us who Jesus is. He says, in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated in heart and mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and without reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that is within you, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, in Christ Jesus, we have all that we need for salvation. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of deity dwells. In Christ, God is manifested in the flesh. Christ reconciled us to God through his death on the cross and the redemption that he won for us. He is the head of all authority. And in Jesus, we have everything that we need because he fills up all things. He has given us everything we need for our salvation, and we are connected to the Savior in whom the fullness of Godhead dwells. And we are certainly filled to the limit, and there's no room for human philosophy or human thoughts in there and the traditions of men. But the thing is, we seem awfully attracted to human philosophies and awfully attracted to behaviors that are contrary to a Christian way of life. In Paul's day, he was often combating the teaching of Jesus and another thing. Like, well, first become Jewish and then follow Jesus. Or keep all the Jewish purity laws and then trust Jesus also. So folks were always trying to combine Jesus and something else. And, well, we still try and do that in our day. But Paul is often writing to let new Christians know, as we have read, that Jesus is all in all and that Jesus is enough for our salvation. Our problems, though, seem to be more along the lines of Jesus playing second fiddle in our life. Jesus has second place to my wants and my needs. Or something like God giving a wink and a nod to all our sins. You know, just kind of a grandfatherly old man who, sowed his wild oats when he was young and sees young people doing it today and just kind of like chuckles and doesn't worry about it too much. Doesn't take it seriously. I guess we could ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah whether or not God takes sin seriously. You see, our culture breeds a God, but it's a different God than the God of the Bible. Our culture breeds a God of self. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit." Our culture is filled with such things, such philosophies and such empty deceits. Poaching off the members of the Christian church with a soft sell that leads us to put Jesus second in our lives. Now, I'm pretty confident this is not at a time or a place for fire and brimstone. It's not a time to rant and to rave, but it certainly is a time to think about the things that we all know. And I'm talking about, entire swaths of Christianity here, is that I'm not entirely confident, even as I look in the mirror, and remember, and I want you to know that I'm looking in the mirror here, that Christians aren't taking Christianity seriously. The wrath of God upon unbelief and backsliding and the slow death of faith is kind of just ignored. And I think Christians have, when they've looked at God, they have apparently committed the mistake of confusing God's kindness with weakness and God's patience with slumber. Now, I'm sure that one of the best ways to combat satanic deceptions is to be so familiar with your Christian faith that you notice false things when they come around, that you notice false things when they pop up in your life. A good way to recognize the fake things is to know the truth so well that we recognize that which is not truth. But I'm afraid we've been floating along, and that we've not been terribly intentional about passing the faith from one generation to the next generation. Not only do folks not recognize true Christian teaching, they tend to gravitate to false teaching, and they're captivated by worldly philosophies. And you've seen them out there, you hear them. Even if you're not too dialed into the news or current events, you catch it in the wave and of culture. Pretty much, I think I don't have to beat the drum terribly much about gender theories and the world having a you-do-you version of human sexuality and life issues. Those two are really quite the mess in the world. Even within some Christian denominations. With the prevalence of easy and readily available abortions, with the cry of death with dignity, all flowing out of an evolutionary background that says human beings aren't special. They aren't of any more worth than a rat or a rabbit or a pig or whatever. That you are just one animal amongst the other animals. There's no soul or immaterial part of you, or any other person for that matter, who is of value. And so we kill the weak and the defenseless. And we let the infirm take their own lives, and we call it a virtue, and we call it good. Now I was thinking, is Christianity, being a Christian, what we do? Or is it who we are? I don't know. I think it's supposed to be who we are, not just what we do. I know there's truth. Truth found in the Holy Scriptures. I know there's error, that which is against the Holy Scripture. There is propaganda that props up the error and propagates it also. I'm fully convinced that advertising works. If advertising didn't work, advertisers wouldn't be doing it. So clearly there is a way to influence people and make them think certain things and lead and guide them in one direction or another. And it's probably true, the old saying, we are what we eat. It's important to know what we're consuming with our mouths. But it's also important to know what we're consuming with our eyes and our ears. Ever since the mid-60s, what we call adult content has been more and more prevalent in our lives. First things that can be mailed to you in brown wrappers, and then in stores, and then on the internet, and now with a phone, every junior high boy has access to adult content. And it twists and it warps. And it doesn't go away, and everybody seated here knows that there are some things you see that you just can't unsee. You know, our grandfathers would be shocked at what we call an R-rated movie, with the language and the things, the violence. We have a culture steeped in violence, just oozing violence in just about everywhere and in every place. And our comedy. All of us get a kick, I'm sure, out of blue comedy. We see things that we know. I mean, I even have a class of things that I say I have that I've seen or watched and listened to. I said, like, I know I shouldn't like it, but I do. And let's face it, too many Christians see the reading of God's word and being in prayer, daily prayer, is something that's optional. I mean, we'll take our kids to every activity their fickle hearts desire, all in the name of experience. We bend our families around whatever sport or whatever club or whatever activity is in season. We skip church to do it, often collapsing so exhausted in our homes that we forget our bedtime prayers. We forget family devotions. We have apparently slowed down the teaching of the creeds and the Lord's Prayer to our children and their Bible stories. Most of us are probably mostly scripturally illiterate. We don't know our Bible stories very well. Your clergy included. We know our doctrine, but I don't know if we know our Bibles. I know that there are fathers out there who prefer hunting and fishing and golfing to leading their families to church on a Sunday morning or leading their families in daily prayer. I know for a fact, because it's me, that I have failed my own family in so many respects. I know I let life take over. I know I slipped into the comfortable zone of take them to church, make sure they go to Sunday school, but I know that in my house, family devotions slowly died. And for that, I am truly sorry. Because I know that I failed my family. And for that, I repent and ask God for forgiveness. And repenting and asking God for forgiveness, at least saying the words, is the easy part. I guess the question remains for all of us collectively, what are we going to do about it? Well, for starters, each and every family here should take the initiative to be in God's Word, to crack open the portals of prayer at supper time, read the daily devotion, read the scripture, read the psalm, read the things that go along with that portals of prayer. Each family here should take the initiative to be in God's Word, to pray daily, and to begin to treat God's house and worship with the dignity and respect that it deserves. No father who is a Christian should, by his actions, teach his family that worship is optional. We need to be intentional about letting the Word of God dwell richly among us. And we need to be intentional about passing that Word of God along to our families. So today, we probably need to reset our Christian life and wear our faith not as a lifestyle choice, but rather as a way of life. God in Christ has chosen us. We are redeemed. And as a response to being the redeemed, to being chosen, let us choose to live lives of intentional faith. And let us each choose the things of God rather than the things of men. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.